think this next topic is going to have to be a two-part series. Maybe we should have done it yesterday, but it's just there's a lot to talk about on mechitzas in shuls. You know, both in terms of the background as well as in terms of the details. And in details, by details I mean how big it has to be, what it could be made out of, when you need one, whether just for davening or for other things as well. But mechitzos and shuls. I want to thank Rabbi Balzum for, I understand he gave a chabura at night about mechitzos and shuls, and he gave me his mar makomo, so that was an excellent starting point for me, and more than a starting point, he had most of the sugya there. I just remember that it's nogea to what we're learning this year. When I took my bechina to get into YU Smicha, it was not the hardest bechina in the world, but when I took that bechina, you had to go talk to Rabbi Charlap Shlita, and we were learning Masechta Sukkah that year in YU, so Rabbi Charlap only asked me one question. He said, where in Masechta Sukkah do you see anything having to do with having a mechitza in a shul, requiring a mechitza in a shul? So I said, the very end, where it talks about how they separated the men from the women. He said, ah, very good. Okay, so I was in. That's all I needed to do. So, don't get nervous, sorry. So, the Gemara in Sukkah on Daf Nun Aleph Amud Aleph tells us, the Mishnah says, Misha la ra'a simchas beis ha-shoeva la ra'a simcha miyamav, someone who never saw the simchas beis ha-shoeva, never saw a true simcha in his days, b'yamotza yom tov harishon shel chag, yardu lezuz nashim, u'misaknin sham tikun gadol. Amotza yom tov harishon shel chag, they went to the lezuz nashim and they made a tikun gadol. So the Gemara says, my tikun gadol. What kind of great tikun did they make? What sort of tikun, what needed to be fixed? Some Reb Lazar, ka'osa shashaninu. Chalaka isub rishon v'kifua gezustra. It used to be just a smooth surface, a flat surface, and they made a ledge, a balcony around it. They made a takana that women would sit in the balcony and men would be down below. So the Brisa says, but it wasn't just that. There was some history behind it. It was a multi-step process. First, their first idea was just have the women on the inside and the men on the outside. So like two different circles, and hopefully they won't do anything wrong. But it led to Kalas Rosh. Didn't work. So I said, okay, maybe we should flip them. Have the men on the inside and the women on the outside, and then maybe that would be better. The women aren't going to push their way forward, and they're not going to intermingle so much. It's not going to lead to anything. Still no good. So they said, you know what? We're changing the whole situation. Women are going to be up, men are going to be down. No way they're going to be able to access each other. So says Gemara, Hechi Avid Hachi, how are you allowed to do that though? They had to build something onto the base of Mikdash. But the pasuk says, "Hakol b'ksav miyad Hashem alei haskil," that the way you construct the base of Mikdash is documented in Tanakh. You can't veer from what the din d'oraisa is of how the base of Mikdash is supposed to be built. You can't just add on pieces to the base of Mikdash. So Marav Krash Chuvadarish. They found another pasuk. Pasuk in Zechariah. Pasuk says V'Savtaris Mishpachas Mishpachas Levad Mishpachas Beis David Levad V'Nasheim Levad. Pasuk indicates that at a Shas Hespit of Zechariah, the men and women were separated. So he said, if at a Shas Hespit, men and women were separated, it's a Kal V'Chomer. When it's a Shas Hespit, there's no Yetzer Har. The Yetzer Har is not very strong at a Shas Hespit, and still Amra Torah Nashim Levad V'Nashim Levad. Still, you have to separate the men and the women. So when you're at Simchas Beis HaShoeva, where you're Osek B'Simcha, and that's where the Yetzer Hara gets really strong, all the more so you need men and women to be separated from each other. That is the Gemara. Question is, okay, that's in the Beis HaMikdash. So in the Beis HaMikdash, we see very clearly, even at times of Hesped, you would need to separate men and women, and that a Mechitza, some real partition to separate, was necessary in the Beis HaMikdash. What does it have to do with the Shul? Is that necessarily true of a Shul? So we're all familiar with the Gemara Megillah, Daf Chav Tesa Min Aleph, where the Gemara says, V'ahelahem l'mikdash ma'at, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Elu batei k'nesios batei midrash shev v'bavel. That Mikdash ma'at is batei k'nesios. That our Shuls do have a quasi-din of Mikdash. Lest you say, well, that's a nice agadita, but who says that we really have a din of Mikdash in our shuls? This is very well documented throughout the Sifrei HaPoskim, that there are many, many halachos in the way of that the Beis HaMikdash is structured, as well as how we treat, I'm sorry, the way a Beis HaKnesses is structured, as well as how we treat a Beis HaKnesses, that are very clearly and directly patterned after dinim of the Beis HaMikdash. If you want to find examples, take a look in Rav Shechter Sefer Eretz HaTzvi, Simen Yud Beis. You can look in Minchas Asher and Bamidbar, Simen Nun Dalet Os Aleph, where they give many, many examples from the fact that there's a mitzvah to build it and a mitzvah to destroy it, structural similarities of having the doors directly across from the Aron, things of that nature, that are very, very clear that Mikdash Ma'ad is not just an agadita, Mikdash Ma'ad is a halacha. That Mikdash Ma'ad is clearly a halacha. So it's clear all the poskim apply the din of requiring a separation from the barrier between the men and the women, not only to a Beis HaMikdash, even though the Beis HaMikdash is the source, they apply it to a Beis HaKnesses as well. Now, is it a din d'oraisa? So Rav Moshe proves in Igros Moshe, Archaim Chelik Aleph, Siman Lamed Tes, that it's got to be a din d'oraisa. He says that his analysis, try to really summarize it very, very, very quickly. His analysis is that we initially said we had a pasuk that you're not allowed to build onto the Beis HaMikdash. Then we said, okay, but there's another pasuk that indicates that men and women should be separated from each other. So he says, who says that the second pasuk should outweigh the first pasuk? So he says the only way you can say the second pasuk should outweigh the first pasuk is if you understand that if there's a din d'oraisa that men and women have to be separated, then it's not shaykh that the Torah wanted us to build something that won't separate men and women. So it has to be that it's megala to us that that's what the first pasuk really meant. What could be megalitas? The Rabbanon can't come and be megalitas, what the first pasuk really meant. It needs to be din d'oraisa, that was the kavanas haTorah the entire time. That you were supposed to realize, of course the Torah doesn't want the men and women to be mixed together. Building the balcony was part of the mitzvah of Binyan HaMikdash. That's kufa what the Torah really wanted the entire time. So Moshe demonstrates that the Gemara only works, the Gemara will only work out if it's in fact the din d'oraisa. Aside from just the din d'oraisa that you see from that Gemara, there may be other very important dinim that are nogeya to having a mechitza, meaning that or many other important dinim that will be violated if one does not have a mechitza. In Nefesh HaRav, page Reish Lamed Beis, Rav Shechter quotes from Rav Salvechik that whenever it comes to shul-related issues, any shul-related thing that looks like the way Goyim do things, even if we're not actually doing it to copy the Goyim, it would still be a problem of chukas ha-Goyim. Rav Salvechik held, for instance, he thought stained glass windows in shuls were a problem. Every shul has them. But, every time a shul builds a new magnificent building, they always put stained glass windows in. But Rav Salvechik held the stained glass windows. Why? Because that's something that's in every church. So something that dafka is the way a church does something is going to be chukas hagayim. So Shechter writes, "Mehai time ahich mi rabbeinu kol kach bibatei knesiyos shebehem yoshma anashim b'taroves." The reason Rav Salvechik was so adamant about the need for a mechitza was partially because of this reason that it was v'hischil mehak knesiyos shel ovdei avodah zarah. It started with the gayim l'spalel kol ha'mishpacha biyachad, to have the family that prays together is the family that stays together, was the expression they used. That idea was clearly taken from the Goyim, and therefore he held it's a violation of Chukas Akum in addition to whatever the requirement is in the Gemara Masechah Sukkah. Not only that, in Tzitz Eliezer, in Chelek Zayin, Simon Ches, quotes from the Sefer Zichron Yehuda, who lists three possible other Isurim that one might be in violation of by not having a Mechitza. He writes that first of all, it's minhag Yisrael to have a mechitza, but it's nogeh b'isra d'oraisa, because there's an isra of istaklus. If you could see the women and you can be staring at them the whole time, that's an isra d'oraisa. An isra d'oraisa of al mikdash aitira'u, a lack of mora mikdash, when you create a situation where it's likely to lead to kalas rosh in the Beis HaKnesses. Plus, al tasa gvul olam, kimashmana mi minhag Yisrael ha-kadosh me'olam, that you're not allowed to go and violate what has been minhag Yisrael for centuries already, or as far back as we can go, we know that it's been a minhag Yisrael in shuls that we don't have men and women mixed together. Chassam Sofer has an additional problem. Chassam Sofer says it's also kalisha, because every time during the davening you hear the women singing, if the women aren't totally blocked off, so it's going to be an issue of kalisha in the room. if that would render the tefillah completely ineffective. The Chassam Sofer thinks that any sort of chash hirhur would automatically ruin the tefillah. Sri Deish in a tshuva in Chelek Aleph Siman Ches sort of dismisses the kalisha concern. He doesn't lishitaso. He says that no, it's not kalisha because it's shirei kodesh and it's trekali lamishtami. It's multiple people singing at one time, so he's not worried if you could hear the women. Imagine the kind of mechitzah the Chassam Sofer must have required. Has to be one where it's soundproof. I don't know what, I guess you have to tell them. They say in some yeshivas, you know, if the women start, who told me they were in the yeshiva? Did you tell me? Where was it? In a kotel. The women started singing from the balcony or something during the Yom Narom davening. Someone got up, gave a clap, and said, Viber! You know, Nashim, whatever, women, you have to be quiet. We're not allowed to hear the singing. Don't try that in your local Yom Yisrael. So that was the Chassam Sofer's concern. Sri Deish was not so concerned about. Now, the big kasha that everyone asks is, if mechitz is so important, how come it never made it into Shulchan Aruch? Nowhere in Shulchan Aruch is there a din that you need a mechitz in a shul. Unbelievable. Shulchan Aruch never mentions a din anywhere. Sort of mentions it somewhere, but never really mentions the halacha that you need a shulchan aruch, that you need a mechitza in a shul. So Tzitz Eliezer gives the obvious answer. He says it never came up. It was never shaykh. Of course, it's what they always had. It's not like anyone had a havamina to do different. Even when women did come to shul, it was pashut. They were on a balcony behind a wall, behind that whatever. It wasn't something that was even shaykh to discuss. Which you could argue there are a lot of things in Shulchan Aruch that maybe aren't so shaykh, you know, that we never had a havamina otherwise. But it still says so in Shulchan Aruch. The Mishnah Berurah in Siman Kuf Nun Vav, Sifkat and Dalid, has a long list of things that never made it into Shulchan Aruch. Things that are pashut, clear as day halachos, and yet they never made it into Shulchan Aruch. A long list. You look at the Mishmur, Sim Kuf Nun Vav, Sifkat and Dalit. So this has to go, and he gives this as one of the examples on the list. It doesn't change it as a halacha. It's still a halacha, even though it's not mentioned in Shulchan Aruch. It's a kasha, why the Shulchan Aruch chose to leave out certain things. Now what about going into a shul that doesn't have a mechitza? Is it mutter to go daven in a shul for whatever reason doesn't have a proper mechitza? So in Divrei HaRav, the new Sefer of Shechter came out with the Rav Sanhagos on page Kuf Nun Vav. He says, he quotes a story over there that, that first of all, the Rav, it's well known, the Rav paskened publicly that if the only shul you have in your town where you're spending Rosh Hashanah is a shul that doesn't have a proper mechitza, you're not allowed to go there even for Tekiah Shofar, even just to hear the Shofar, to be Yotzei the Mitzvah Dereisa Tekiah Shofar. Stay out of that shul. It's better not to go to shul, not be Yotzei Shofar, than to go into the shul in the first place. That was very clear. That was Rav Soloveitchik Shita, and he publicized that Shita because he held you're going to be in violation of Chukas Akum by going there, and it's better not to do the mitzvah, not to violate Isurim by promoting the idea of not having a mechitza. Someone asked him, though, in Divrei Rav over there in the very next page, it says that he had a Talmud who grew up in a conservative shul in Detroit, but he fell into NCSY and he got frum, and it was his younger brother's bar mitzvah, and he in the conservative shul, and he wanted to know, can he go to the bar mitzvah? So Soloveitchik told him that if you daven before, don't daven there, and you can walk into the shul for the bar mitzvah, you could sit there with your family, but don't even say amen. Don't even answer amen to any of the kadeshim, any of the brachos. You're not a single word of tefillah to be uttered in a shul that doesn't have mechitza. So pretty serious. In the Tzitz Eliezer quotes the Lev HaIvri, who was even more strict about it. The Lev HaIvri, in a letter that was signed by a lot of other poskim, the Tzitz Eliezer says he gave a psak din v'sakina charifa, with a very, very sharp language, where he said that even if it doesn't have a proper mechitza, Levi Ivri held the proper mechitza has to be a mechitza you can't even see the women. So he says, even if it's a shul that has a mechitza where you could see the women, then better not to go to shul than to go into such a shul where you could. We're going to have to discuss tomorrow. Is that really true? Does everyone hold that you're not allowed to see the women? So, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we're going to discuss how much of a separation you need and what types of situations demand a mechitza, what types of situations do not demand a mechitza.